My sermon title today is Onward, Christian Soldiers. My text is 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying today to remember and honor all the men and women who have served in our country's armed services. It was first celebrated in 1919 to commemorate the signing of the peace treaty with Germany the year before that signaled the end of World War I, the war to end all wars. Since it was signed at 11 o'clock on November 11th, November 11th seemed the appropriate day to remember the cost that war had exacted on our world. And it was a terrible cost indeed, with 16 million people killed and 20 million wounded. However, Veterans Day was not made an official national holiday until 1938, ironically, on the eve of another horrific world war. In 1968, some of you are old enough that you may remember that Congress passed a law that all holidays except New Year's Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas would be celebrated on the Monday closest to the original date, making possible the much highly esteemed three-day weekend. But by 1978, Veterans Day was back to being observed on November 11th, because most people thought that the date itself was too important to ignore. Interestingly, it was a Kansan, Alvin King from Emporia, who started the ball rolling to have the holiday commemorate all veterans and not just the ones who served in World War I. His nephew, John Cooper, was killed in World War II, prompting him to suggest to his congressman that the focus of the holiday be extended to include all veterans. And so it was in 1954. It's fascinating how much our lives are touched by veterans. We have quite a few in our own congregation. If this were a normal meeting and we were in our building, I would ask all of you to stand, but that would probably look a little silly in your living rooms. So what I will do instead is ask you to raise your hand if you are a veteran so we can recognize you. Thank you all for your service. We are really grateful. Just in our own family, Steve and I both had grandfathers who served in World War I and fathers who served in World War II. Steve's brother Charles was in the Navy during the Vietnam War. Our son Pete is a 7-year Army veteran, and our granddaughter Karen was in the Army and the Army Reserves for several years. So we're a 5-generation family. What exactly is a veteran? Webster defines veteran as a person who, 1, has had long service or experience in an occupation, office, or the like, or 2, a person who has served in a military service, especially during a war. It seems correct to say that a military veteran is someone who either sacrifices themselves or makes themselves vulnerable to sacrifice. Every service person has to take an oath pledging to make whatever sacrifice is required of him or her, up to and including the ultimate sacrifice. It doesn't take much thought to see the parallels between the people we are honoring today and the followers of Jesus. We truly are Christian soldiers. Just as soldiers enlist, so do we. It's called baptism. And just like that raw recruit, we're promising to follow whatever commands we're given, to make whatever sacrifices necessary, even if that means giving our lives for him, as he did for us. This is why we don't baptize infants or young children in our movement. This is a commitment that no one else can make for you, and you need to be old enough to understand what you are promising. When we say yes to Jesus, we are not only saying that we believe that he is the Son of the living God, but we are saying that we will follow him wherever he leads, that we want to conform our lives to his, that we want to be as much like him as we can be in this world. For all of us, this means sacrifice. It could mean death. If military people are willing to take whatever risks are necessary for their country and for their fellow countrymen, how much more must we be willing to risk everything for Christ and our fellow Christians? We know that he was willing to obey his Father and sacrifice for us all the way to the cross, and that many of his followers since then have made that same journey. And we Christians are, and always have been, in a war, no doubt about it. Our enemy is the worst possible, sin and evil. Satan's an enemy that fights dirty. Sometimes we see him plainly, and other times we can be lulled into inattention, and he pounces or sneaks up from our blind side. We must be ever vigilant, or we lose. Losing endangers not only ourselves, but everyone around us. In fact, it endangers the whole world. Just what do we do about it? We do just like military soldiers. After we enlist, we go into training, and if we're doing it right, unlike those recruits, we'll never graduate. This is a battle that never ends this side of the grave. We can never be too ready. Where do we commence this training? First, we study to learn. And second, we study to learn. And third, you guessed it, we study to learn. We have to be very clear about him for whom we are fighting and what he expects from us. We have to know our enemy and his ways. This is a lifelong pursuit. We never say that we're too old or that we have learned all there is to learn. I've noticed that the more someone has studied scripture and the tenets of our faith, the more humble he or she becomes. Those people will tell you that they feel as if they have just scratched the surface of what there is to learn. Our God is infinitely deep. His wisdom is forever. We grow stronger and better armed against the enemy the more we are immersed in his word. In 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17, we read, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." As I said, this is an enemy who doesn't play fair. His ways are wily and treacherous. We are sitting ducks if we don't know what to expect. He loves ignorance, promotes it even. The less we know about our faith, the more he can trick us, trip us up, and trap us. Just think how foolish the soldier would be who didn't know her enemy's position, who didn't study battle tactics, who perhaps couldn't even recognize the enemy when she saw him. She'd be dead. And so will we be if we don't immerse ourselves in God's word. It is the body armor that we need to protect ourselves in a world full of sin. Yes, he does give us weapons. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 describes them for us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The full armor of God. Wow. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. This is a pretty amazing arsenal that God has put at our disposal. But what is our next step? What comes next is we need to gather together all these weapons he has given us and drill and practice to learn to use them well. Also, soldiers can tell you the reason for drill. They need to be so practiced that they can react instinctively to every command, to every threat. Think how great it would be for us Christians to be able to react instinctively when our faith is threatened or when sin raises its ugly head. We need to reach for our weapons automatically. When we aren't well prepared, our reflexes are slower. Perhaps we have to stop to think through the drill. We may even be asleep at our post. But how to drill? Obviously, we don't have squad meetings where we practice dropping bombs or unkind thoughts or tossing grenades at smoldering envy or shooting down craven desires. Not that that wouldn't be interesting, but we do practice. We practice marching our reluctant selves away from an activity we shouldn't be engaged in. We practice keeping our mouths firmly closed when harmful things want to come out. We drill and drill our wagging tongues into submission when they are tempted to gossip. We train ourselves not to look away when someone needs help. We learn to avert our eyes from things we shouldn't see, to close our ears to things we shouldn't hear. We build up our spiritual muscles to fight injustice and corruption. We strengthen our moral fiber to resist our inner demons of pride, greed, envy, or jealousy. And how do we practice? First, we identify our enemy, and then we do what Jesus would do. The more we try to be like Jesus, to immerse ourselves in him and his word, the more instinctive will be our responses to the evil in ourselves and in the world, and the closer we will be to victory. Probably you've noticed a breakdown in the analogy between us Christian soldiers and military soldiers. Unlike the regular army, we're dropped into combat the minute we enlist. We come up out of the baptismal waters and boom, we're at war. Our drill and practice is conducted with live ammo. Remember, our enemy doesn't play fair. This warfare isn't much like the jousting knights of the Middle Ages who lined up facing each other, fought until one side retreated, broke up to treat the wounded and bury the dead, rested up, and then had at it again. This warfare is more like slogging through the jungles of Vietnam. The enemy could be anywhere. He doesn't need to catch his breath, and he cares nothing about the Geneva Conventions. Consequently, we have to be on our guard at all times and in all places. We also need to remember that a good soldier does what has to be done when it needs to be done. We know that God has promised that each of us has been given something special that we can use to serve him. Not to use that gift would be sinful, in fact. God has given it to us not for our own amusement or profit, but to benefit others in this great cause to which we're committed. We also know that we all share certain gifts we must use for the good of the kingdom. The gifts of encouragement, hospitality, generosity, kindness, thoughtfulness are ones we should nurture and share willingly with each other and the world. Frankly, using our special gifts plus giving of ourselves freely, using the gifts that all of us share, goes a long way to further God's kingdom in this world and to win the battle we wage with evil. But what if we encounter a job or a situation that we know must be dealt with, and it isn't in what Max Lucado refers to as our sweet spot? Do you protest delicately that this just isn't one of your talents and let it go? Or do you take a deep breath, roll up your sleeves, and do it? Is a U.S. soldier given a choice? It's not pretty to think what would happen to a specialist fourth class who got finicky about following a command. Specialists fourth class have to learn that lives, including their own, depend on them, and that is true of us too. It simply won't do to refuse to run a message to the commander because, after all, we're a sharpshooter. It's also unacceptable for a Christian to respond to the news that someone in the hospital needs a cheering visit by saying, "Oh, I just hate hospitals. They are so depressing, and I never know what to say anyway." The sweet spot is baseball talk for the perfect place on the bat to hit the ball. But sometimes, even if we're by nature a power hitter, for the good of the team, we have to lay down a bunt. All of this talk of being Christian soldiers in the war against evil is pretty daunting. We don't like to sacrifice. It, by definition, hurts. It can seem like too much for us to handle alone, and it is. Fortunately, we don't have to. God has promised us that he is always with us. The more we learn about him, the more we talk to him in prayer, the more we let him into our hearts and minds, the more we are going to feel his comforting presence. He never sends us out to battle alone. He also has given us brothers and sisters in him. We aren't an army of one in this world. He is our comforter and protector, but they are our comrades in arms. When you think of the ferocity and tenacity of our enemy, isn't it wonderful to have fellow travelers? They are part of the arsenal he has given us to fight this war, and it is very foolhardy of us not to take advantage of what he's provided. You could say there is safety in numbers when we band together, but it is much more than that. Only people who are engaged in a common cause truly understand what the costs are. What are the rewards? Only our fellow soldiers realize the life and death seriousness of our mission. Our brothers and sisters in Christ do so much for us if we let them. We pick up those who have stumbled and help set them back on the path, heading the right direction. We encourage each other. We comfort each other. We meet together at least once a week to remember our common Father and the price that he paid for our salvation. We draw inspiration from his love for us and the love that we have for each other through him. Those of us, for example, who watched Cindy care tenderly and patiently for Dale in his last days, have been touched by her loving care and sacrifice and have learned from her example. She demonstrated the persistence and steadfastness that we all need to imitate as we fight the Christian fight. But even if we could maintain our courage alone, we would be denying the other half of the equation, our duty to help our brothers and sisters. In this war we're waging, we have to have our buddies' back. We need to provide every bit of support we can muster. All of us need to help at one time or another, but we also need to be ready to provide help too. It would be a very poor soldier indeed who wasn't available to assist a comrade who had fallen or is surrounded by the enemy. He could even face court-martial proceedings, and we don't even want to think what court-martial would mean to a Christian soldier. Today, as we continue to remember those who have fallen in service to this country, it is appropriate that we as Christian soldiers also remember our own, those who were martyred for our faith. They provide such inspiration for us as we too slog through the jungles of this war. Think of the determined early Christians who refused to bow down to Rome. Think of Paul and the other apostles spreading the gospel in the face of increasing opposition. Christians have been tortured to death or burned at the stake during the Inquisition. In the past century in our own country, think of the murdered civil rights workers, including Dr. Martin Luther King. Remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German author of The Cost of Discipleship, who died in a Nazi prison because he refused to keep silent in the face of tyranny. Think of the nuns murdered in Nicaragua, the missionaries in Peru. So many of our brothers and sisters have put themselves in harm's way to spread the gospel and do Christ's work in this world and have paid the ultimate price for it. We must never forget or take for granted their courage and strength. Our enemy is strong, but with God's help, we are always stronger. Let us never forget that we are on the Lord's side and he is on ours. There is a memorial service celebrated every year on Veterans Day at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, Virginia. The president places a wreath on the tomb and there are speeches. Then the people who are present observe a period of silence to remember those who have given their lives for this country. It seems to me fitting that we also observe a minute of silence to remember not only our military dead, but also to remember our Christian heroes, those people who have given their lives in the service of our Master. So let's bow our heads for a silent remembrance.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.